This is Scenic Roots. This afternoon, recorded live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library, we have a session for you from the indefatigably dynamic Rybaby, who were our guests about a year ago for a session in the library. Since then, they have not expanded exactly, but changed the instrumentation a little. It's still Cali playing elemental guitar and now bass, and occasionally adding a vocal alongside Jennifer's drumming and powerful vocals. Rybaby make music that evokes Link Wray, Dick Dale, and the other inspired minimalists in early rock and roll. For Cali and Jennifer, as it was for their heroes, technique is helpful, but it's the raw energy and elemental feel that counts with Rybaby.
I don't wanna die.
You've expanded a bit since the last time I've seen you.
Yeah, we've added a few more drums. Stopped doing the ridiculous split, the drum duties thing, which was insane.
Made a huge difference to the sound.
Yeah, I mean, feels
natural. And the way
you're
playing, too, is what it sounds like.
Feels way more natural to play.
Yeah.
I'm not having to, you know, split my brain into three or four different players.
We added an invisible band member, our bass player.
Oh, yeah, we have an octave pedal that just kind of gives the illusion of a bass player.
So how do you work that? What do you do to work that with your foot?
No, I mean, it's on my pedal board, but it's a separate line that splits out, but my guitar runs through it, and I can filter out all the high notes of a chord to where I'm just triggering the, like, say, a G chord, I'm triggering the low G note of the chord. So it'll trigger that note, and you hear bass tones. It's not necessarily, you know, a moving bass part, although sometimes I'll do like a finger picking thing where I'm, you know, thumbing a bass line and then, you know, kind of strumming the rest of it. And it kind of sounds like we have a bass player, lazy bass player.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that's filling that sonic void is what's important. You know, people don't really always notice that we don't have a bass player when they hear the rumble. That's all that matters. The rumble.
Yeah, well. You sound much more comfortable in your singing.
Thank you. I feel more comfortable, oddly, because I do get out of breath sometimes. But I feel, I don't know. At first, when I took over the kick drum, I thought I made it this big thing in my head, and I thought it was going to be, like, I don't know, so much worse. But it feels like, you know, the way you're supposed to actually play the instrument.
And
it does make singing much easier. And I think the sitting down thing helps with the singing, too.
I think at first...
Really?
When we,
I think so.
Yeah, I think at first when we started transitioning into the more electric... Because we started out, you know, with a tenor banjo and an acoustic guitar and a foot tambourine. You remember those mm-hmm. days. But when we first started transitioning into the loud... electric guitar thing and drum kit, I think we kind of maybe weirded some people out, you know, like I'm standing up playing electric and playing the kick drum and she's playing the cymbal and a snare drum and a tambourine and people are like, what's this? Is this a joke? Or, and it probably kind of was there for a while until we figured it out. But actually the last time we did this live from the library thing, we were like, okay, we're going to
Jennifer's going to take over that kick drum
now. How to play
a
kick drum with the rest of the kit, and we're just going to, you know, play the instruments like they're supposed to be played and see what happens.
And since then, you have played a bunch of gigs and gone to Nashville and started making a record, huh?
Yeah, we recorded with John Little, Magnetic Sound Studios. Low-key operation, very comfortable. He has a good ear for, you know, adding little production bits that we wouldn't think of. He was also really good at telling me to get over myself and just move on with the next part because, as Jennifer knows, I can be a little bit obsessive.
You're paying for it. You can't track that guitar line 87 times.
Yeah, I can't spend 8 hours on a guitar solo like I would if I was recording on my own. And plus, I would have probably driven him crazy. But he was good about, man, you're being too hard on yourself. You should move on from here. And that was good. I needed that because we had recorded ourselves before and let someone else mix it after the fact. But, you know, having to push buttons and set up microphones, especially when you don't know what you're doing in regards to recording, other than the people I've worked with in the past who do know what they're doing, you know, watching how they do the mic placement and all that. I've got that much down. But after that, I don't even care to know. I'd rather not know. I'd rather just, you know, play the guitar and let them.
Yeah, that's the liberation, isn't it, for both of you to have a third set of ears.
Yes.
So you can relax and just focus on what you're doing. Just play.
I think that's the hardest thing about being in a duo.
Yes.
Is the fact that, especially when you're like the two of us, neither one of us are very like the type to be band leaders. You know, we're just kind of like, okay, set up our instruments.
We know
play.
How to play.
That's about all we know how to
write
do.
Write music.
So,
I mean,
you know, when you have somebody else that helps you and is like, okay, you need to do this, or maybe you should think about this. You know, we take advice. We're not. You know,
what was his take on how you have things set up? Was he's happy with that? He didn't mention the missing bass player or any of that?
Well, he was, at first, you know, when we were trying to explain it to him, he's like, I don't know, maybe you should bring a bass and, like, track the bass parts. And then when we started playing and we tracked live to tape, we had a tape machine and we went in and played the guitar and the drums live. And then, of course, I had the octave pedal tracking along with it. And after, you know, we ran through a couple of songs, he was just like, oh, this is going to work. I see what you're saying. It's fine. You know, I'm going to make it work in the mix. Because it's not meant to be a prominent thing. It's just kind of meant to be, you know, fill in the void.
Yeah. So how does a band like the Black Keys handle that issue?
Well, now he has like 7 other members in the band. But I think back in the day, I saw them at Nightfall. Remember when they played Nightfall?
It was a while ago. Yeah. That was back in the 90s, wasn't it?
Early 00s. I think
that was almost 20 years ago, I just realized.
Yeah.
Gosh,
he was playing a Telecaster, and he had, from what I could remember, I could count at least 4 different amps on stage. And a lot of blues players will play with their neck pickup on the guitar, which is a deeper pickup, but I'm really heavily influenced by surf music and old country music as far as the guitar tones go. So I tend to do the opposite and use the bridge pickup, which is real gnarly and has a bite to it.
Well, it's always seemed to me that that's the beauty of what you do. It's so raw.
Well,
you know, it's rockabilly, surf, and there's some country in there and some blues in there, but it's very visceral. That was what you were going for, right?
Well, that's a nice compliment. Yeah, I mean, sure. Most of the time, I wonder, like, I'll pick up my guitar some days, and I'm like, do I even remember how to play this thing, you know? And some days I feel confident, you know, and then other days, like, I'll pick up a guitar and be like, why are my hands not doing what they're supposed to do? I've played this a million times, but I guess everybody feels that way, unless you're one of those virtuoso guys that spends like 10 hours a day practicing. But who wants to do that? You gotta live a little too, you know. Nobody wants to hear your 30 solos and 50 scales that you play. Nobody.
You have a gifted way of playing the guitar.
Oh, thank you.
You don't play like anybody else I know. I love to listen to you play.
Well, that's the biggest compliment I think I could ever receive. Thank you. I mean, I just dig in and hope for the best. Just pretty much how it works.
Yeah. What's your take on all this, Jennifer? How do you find your place in this?
Well,
did you have a role model?
Oh, many. Of course, I've always talked about Dolly and Loretta, but you know, I always end up going to the country role models first. I never remember, and when we're talking or when somebody says, "Who do you love?" I love Wanda Jackson, and I love Janis Joplin. After I learned that Big Mama Thornton actually played the drums and sang, I started kind of diving into more about her, you know, and Sister Rosetta Tharpe is pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, one of the best guitar players.
She's pretty bad in a good way. But I do love, like, Joni Mitchell and Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries. Vocally, I really always, like, thought of her as, like, this is probably going to sound really weird, but like Irish Dolly, you know, because she has that echo in her break and her voice. But yeah, and I've always loved rockabilly, which is funny. I didn't really think of it as rockabilly. I love Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, and Elvis. But to me, I didn't think of it the genre. I just thought, I love these men and what they do and that feeling it gave me. So when we started going in that direction, I was like, yes, this is what's been missing in my life, you know. Kind of feels like we found our sound finally. And actually, I always wanted to play the drums. I have a lot still to learn, but I didn't ever think I would do it. So it's pretty exciting.
You do everything that we need. That's all that matters. You don't once again, you don't have to play a million flashy roles and all that. Who cares? It's all about
the
song.
Can you tell we're hard on ourselves?
No, I'm giving you a compliment.
Oh, well, see, because I always think,
the song is what matters.
He's playing all this flashy stuff at shows. I get like, oh, God, you know. But, I mean, you know.
I mean, you know, the energy of the music is what's most important. Whether you're a technical player or, you know, loosey-goosey like we are, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if the song's good and the energy, there's a connection with the players, you know, that to me, I'd rather see, it doesn't matter what genre it is. Like when I see that draws me in, you know. I've already made the point that I don't really care like how technically proficient you are, but even if you are, if you're vibing off of someone else in a unique way, that's what draws me in. Yeah, I'd rather see and listen to that any day. personally.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. That's what I like about what you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. But we'll push.
Sour. dark world, serenaded by the black hounds of hell. Feel the heat from the fire of the devil's desire. Hear the chime of the last warning bell.
I swear that I can't be the only one who knows that's there. 5 miles away.
my favourite bands in Chattanooga, Rye Baby, Jennifer Brumlow and Callie Harmon, recorded in the studio in the Chattanooga Downtown Library last December. The music they recorded in the studio in Nashville they talked about was released on Bandcamp in March. There are four songs on the EP called Jen's Dream, and we have just enough time for them. Thanks so much for listening. This is Scenic Roots, live in the library.
You can kill me, but I don't wanna die. Yeah.